Chapter 70. Tolan.
Whorehounds!
Over Captain Asa stormed into the tent and shook his head, flinging water from his hair and face like a woolly sheepdog. He squeezed the moisture from his leather eye patch.
Did their rutty breath smell of brandy when they reported this?
He crossed the room to where Tolan stood over his table, strategizing their next moves.
Did you get yourself a good whiff?
Tolan looked up from his work. I'm sure they would have rather it did. Asa looked confused. One of them had bruises across half his face. The second couldn't walk from a shattered leg. The third was holding an arm that looked to have been half torn off, and the fourth... Well, he didn't come back at all. So, yes, I'm sure they'd probably rather have been sitting around getting sloshed than the alternative.
So it's true?
Yes, Tolan admitted with all the candor he could muster given the circumstances. And if we don't want to join them, we need to secure our position immediately. I can only guess at the direction they'll be hitting us from, he said, as he glanced back at the hand-drawn maps strewn across the table.
Which makes it even more difficult since we are already battling one army as it is. We need to move our lancers south, right here.
Tolan circled a section of the map with his finger. It will give our pikemen a chance to change direction. We need to be facing north, forcing our Silmaran neighbors to stand between us and the hounds.
Aye, that would help.
Asa strapped his patch back over his eye. We also need to have Nadir and Belus pull the bowmen in behind our lancers to protect their flanks. Give them plenty of space to fire on whatever the defiler has in store for us today. The more proficient we are from a distance, the fewer of the creatures we'll have to face up close. I don't know about you, but I don't relish the thought of hand-to-hand combat with a whorehound.
Neither do I, Asa said, stroking his ducktail once again.
Our mounted lancers are going to be the defining factor in this outcome. They'll be the only ones capable of matching the creature's speed and size.
I'll be flaming hanged if I allow a pack of mangy fleabags to overrun our position.
Asa took a moment to refasten his headband, where some of the loose strands of his graying hair were sticking to the front of his face.
With our lancers now facing two opposing forces, I'm afraid my time will be best served by working from here. Will you be able to handle the cavalry on your own?
Asa stared down the point of his nose at Tolan with his one and only eye.
Who do you think you're talking to? I was going to insist on it. We need our commander. Commanding. Not sticking his neck out there for the enemy to get an easy strike at. Besides, he said, as he cleared his throat, with you out of the way, I can take all the glory for myself.
Tolan was glad to see that the enormity of the situation hadn't yet managed to steal his friend's sense of humor. The evening light waned, and the rain looked to have settled in for the long haul. Both sides were feeling the strain of battle when the first of the whorehounds made their appearance. It wasn't so much the ethereal baying alerting Tolan to their presence, as the ensuing chaos that struck the Silmaran ranks when the creatures rolled out of the shadows. Like specters out of the storm, they tore through the Silmarans' already muddled formations. As he sent out his couriers and trumpeters to relay his latest orders, Tolan realized the next few moments could determine not only the course of this battle, but the lives of every human fighting in it. Tolan was going to need to turn this to their advantage by transforming an enemy into an ally. As fast as Elior could send out his runners, Tolan relayed a missive ordering the Alondrian forces to cease all aggression on the Silmaran ranks, which had already dropped all interest in them in order to combat the new, more fearsome enemy. The Lancers, in turn, were to join the Silmarans and fight side by side, for everyone's survival.